Hi, this is Harold. Welcome to Transformation's weekly message and podcast. I'm glad you are making time for this week's teaching. I will have more to say at the end of today's message, but for now, let's see what God wants to teach us. May God bless your hearing, understanding, and application of God's word and message. This morning, on this third week of Advent, I welcome everybody here. Glad you're with us. If you're listening online, we're glad you're with us too. We're in a message series that's titled The Arrival, Embracing the Hope of Christ's Coming. So it's our Advent series. We're in third week. We're talking about joy today, and something we should all be excited about, I think. And Advent invites us to participate in joy and a lot of other things to reflect on, number one, Christ's first coming, but also to prepare our hearts for that return. Nobody knows the day or the hour that's going to happen, but it's really present. If Advent should be alive in your heart right now, and should carry forward throughout the year. But this is just a time to come back and just check in and remember what this is all about. And I think it's a beautiful time to do that. In the first week, we examined hope by anchoring ourselves in God's promises. And we lifted up a lot of those promises in the first week. And there's thousands of promises in the Bible. I mean, thousands. If you went through and just went from the Old Testament, started with Genesis, and went through Revelation, I guarantee you would find thousands of promises of what's going to happen and prophecies, and two-thirds of those have already materialized. Historically, two-thirds of everything the Bible says is going to happen has already happened. So it's really easy, I think, to subscribe that the next third is going to happen, no-brainer. We just don't know the timeline or the day or the hour it's going to happen, but it's full of that. Last week, we explored peace and focusing on the calm that Jesus provides, and it should bring peace in heart regardless of what's going on in the world system. And there's always stuff going on in the world system. I mean, we could just turn on the news right now and watch the headlines. Local news, global news, national news, always stuff going on. Always stuff going on. And in spite of all that, we pray for those things. We stand up for those who are wounded, excluded, and suffering, the marginalized, the ones that are suffering, especially contextually where we're at. We need to be focused on that, how we can serve those people. But at the same time, regardless of what's going on in the world, we can have peace. And I think that's awesome. And today we embrace joy, the theme of this week's Advent focus. And so joy should be something you're excited about. And joy is way different, friends, than being happy. Happy is very circumstantial. John's a big Steelers fan. I introduced you to John last week. He's going to be really happy today if the Steelers win. I'm going to be happy if the Chiefs win. If they lose, I won't be too happy, and he won't be too happy if the Steelers win. But that doesn't take away from our joy for being where we're at in our life and the journey that we've been on. So that's the point, is that happiness ebbs and flows. And I don't have to get, and I need to know the difference of those two things, I think, because there's going to be days when things just don't go my way, and I'm not very happy, you know, and I can be very frustrated. It can be a very challenging time. It could be a season. It could be a week. It could be a month. Could be something serious. It could go on for a few weeks, a few months. But in all that, I can still have joy. And joy transcends fleeting emotions and temporary circumstances, because they are temporary. Because like we lifted up last week, we're either in a conflict, we're coming out of a conflict, or we're just about ready to go into the next one. It's always that way. You look back at your life honestly, and the older you are, you know that's true. It's always something. As my mom used to say, it's always going to be something, Harold. It's always something. Right? And so this morning we uncover joy, and Jesus describes it to us in John 15:11, and examines how it transforms our life. And so we're going to look at that real quick. There it is. He's got it up there for us. And this is the scripture. And this is Jesus speaking. So it's really important to listen to these words. I have told you these things so that you will be filled with my joy. Yes, your joy will overflow. End quote. Powerful testimony. Another way to say it is God created us for joy. It created us to have a joyful life. And so Jesus is inviting us into that. And because of that separation that we suffered prior to his coming, and he created a way to remove that separation, now we have a way to step in and experience that joy if we say yes. It's not forced. We're not coerced into it. It's an invitation. We can either say yes or no to it. But if you say yes and you really live into it, and you practice what Jesus said, how to live a Jesus-centered life, then you start to experience these promises, you experience this peace, but you definitely experience this joy. And it's just, it's a great feeling to have this joy in your life. And so I just encourage you to lean into that today. Our first real big point today is this, is joy in God's presence. The light of being in him, just the delight of that. just being having a relationship with God wherever you're at on that journey. Some of you may be new in your faith. Some of you may have been walking with the Lord for a long time. Some of you may have questions, doubts, you're frustrated, or you're not really sure. Maybe you're not feeling it, wherever you're at. But joy in God's presence, the delight of being with Him. And that may look different for everybody sitting here, how you experience that joy. You know, some of you are deep prayers. Some of you are deep into your scripture and your Bible and really into the Word of God. Some of you are deep into your meditation. Some of you spend a lot of time with that, read a lot of things, study a lot of things. Others are into maybe podcasts, or you listen to the Bible audibly, you know, because it speaks to you differently. Or you listen to sermons. There's just thousands of sermons and podcasts and things you can download and listen to. There's all kinds of ways to experience just being in the presence of God. And so if you think about it, if you're a lamp, that's a nightlight of Jesus. So if you don't want a cool nightlight, I guess you could have that. And Jesus is hiding in the hall with you. But, you know, but the light of Christ, if you think about it, though, really, think about it in the form of electricity. As long as that's plugged in, there's light, right? I don't know all there is to know about electricity, but I'm not going to sit in the dark until I figure it out, right? I'm going to enjoy the light. But we got to be plugged in to experience the light. If you're not plugged in, the light's going to go away. You're going to get unplugged, and spiritual decay will set in, complacency will set in, a rotten attitude will set in, and the further you're separated, the harder it is to come back sometimes. There's a lot of bitter people out there that got mad at somebody in the church, they got mad at the pastor, they got mad at the congregation, they got mad, and they're separated, they're isolated, or they're just frustrated in their own life. They just feel like, you know, that God's not hearing their prayers, or it's not fair, it's in, you know, whatever is going on in their life, and there's no light in our life. And it's a very dark place. And there's, I'd say, a vast majority of people live in the dark. And so this is what Christmas is all about. It's inviting him to step into the light. And it's such a false pretense, because it can just come off as, hey, you just come here and we pray over you, you're good. But it's so much more than that. You know, you have to get whatever's blocking you from God, you got to deal with that blockage. And for a lot of people, that's a lifetime of stuff. That's not just one event in your life. That's a lifetime of broken relationships, broken hearts, bad decisions, bad choices, full of shame, full of remorse, all that stuff. And so you have to have a process to deal with that. It's more than just zap theology. Come in, hey, you need Jesus. Yes, you definitely need Jesus. Raise your hand. You want Jesus. Hey, let's baptize you. Okay, you're good. And that could feel good for 2 or 3 days. But then that wears off, and then reality sets back in, and then you're laying your head on your pillow at night, and all the shame, all the blockage, all the stuff still there. The narrative's wearing you out, and you feel very disconnected. So there has to be a process. But part of that process, once you give your life to God, is to stay connected. And we do that a lot of different ways. In Psalm 16:11, it says, "You will show me the way of life, granting me the joy of your presence and the pleasures of living with you forever." And this is a huge promise that God provides for us if we lean into it. And so I encourage you to lean into it big time. So what's the application? Choose to stay connected to Jesus in this busy season. That's the application. Joy flows through abiding in Him, staying plugged in, to the source. So how can you do that? We have the Advent devotional. A lot of us are in that, and the group me going through that. But that's just for a few moments in the day. I mean, you know, Susie and I go through those in the morning. We usually do the upper room together. We'll do whatever Advent one we're working on. We do those things together most days. But that's just for 15, 30 minutes. So what do you do the rest of the time, the other 23 and a half hours during the day? How do you stay connected throughout your day? And I think that's really important to have ways to do that. Music does a big time for me. If I need a bolst, this morning I was just listening to Christmas music and it just fires me up. Music just does it for me. If I'm in a funk, I can put on music and it'll change my attitude pretty fast. And so that's something I can do. But if I do it all the time, eventually it's just background noise. So I can't just do it all the time, you know, because it just becomes habitual. And then it's like I hear it, but it's just ancillary noise. I'm not really hearing it. I'm not really into it. But if I do it throughout the day and do it sporadically, but just having ways that connecting with others is a big way for me. Reaching out to people, hearing from people, hear what's going on in their trials, what's going on in their life. That moment of getting out of self. The hillbilly version of that is when I'm busy thinking about that corn dog, I'm not thinking about this one. And life's pretty good when I'm not thinking about Harold. You know, I can just promise you. My buddy Henry says it best. My life is great as long as I'm not involved in it. You know, right? And that's just a great way to say it. I mean, because it truly is. But, you know, my mind is going 100 miles per hour. It's not going to shut off. There's a lot of delusion out there that people that are really in centered, spiritually centered, just like it's just peace and harmony and little birds chirping in the background and Joseph's lullaby and Dale's voice is playing back here in the quiet, soothing music. And that's just not the case, you know. You have to do other things. And one of the best illustrations that really was ever given to me in my life is by a mentor of mine, Bob. And Bob really helped me with meditation. And he said, you know, because that was my question years ago. It's like, how do you shut off the mind? He says, you don't shut off the mind. That's delusion. You know, do you think you can shut off the mind? But visualize this, that you're going to dive into the river and you swim to the bottom and you grab a hold of some seaweed and you hang on. And then whatever comes down the stream comes down the stream. Your job is just to hang into that moment. Well, that really helped me, you know, to visualize what meditation is about. So when I sit down to reflect on whether it's scripture, it's a song, it's a podcast, it's a conversation, it's just reflecting on my day, it's just a great way to visualize. I'm going to grab a hold of this and I'm going to hang on. And I'm just going to let the experience be what it is for that moment. And that really helped me a lot in my life. And maybe it will you too when you're thinking about this stuff. The next point is joy and salvation, the freedom of redemption. That Jesus died to remove the separation between us and God. That's what it's all about. That's what salvation is about. And it's a past, it's a present, and it's a future tense. Not just about what happens to me when we die. And so much theology out there. Hey, brother, are you saved? Are they saved? Like another notch in the post. Are you saved? Are you saved? You know, salvation should be happening in your life. It's a process. It's a verb. It's going on all the time. You know, this being redeemed. Think of the word being redemption, redeem, like you redeem a coupon. Some of you are doing that with Amazon right now or whatever you're buying stuff. And you have any coupons? Yeah, I want to redeem them. You know, I want to take advantage of this. You know, well, that's what Jesus did. He gave you away. He redeemed you. You know, I'll take them. Bring them to me. I'll take the junk. I'll bring all your warts, pimples, whatever you got. I'll take it. Redeem it right here. That's our Redeemer. And there's freedom in that. When you know that you're imperfect, and you've been that way for your whole life, and you're never going to be perfect. Self will never fully be eradicated. You'll always battle with some version of your flawness for the rest of your earthly life. But then be free from all the, somehow or another, connection to that. You know, it doesn't relieve me of the responsibility. If I took the money, I need to repay the money. So then, like, I get redeemed and I'm just good. I don't have, all of my past is erased. That's a false pretense of salvation. It's like it's just all wiped clean. No, I'm forgiven for all those things, but I still got a responsibility to clean up my past, whatever that might be, in the moment. If I did something wrong, I need to own it and go clean it up. But I just don't get a big erase, you know, because now I got Jesus, now I'm good. But there's a lot of theology out there that that's what it's about. It's not. You know, it has to be confession. It has to be an ongoing looking at my life and where do I need to change? What do I need to do? Where do I need to grow? I need to be and I need to be confessing those things and on an ongoing basis if I'm going to stay spiritually connected. Children, you know, you think about this, right? The Grinch, we all know about the Grinch, right? And the carrying the burdens through life. And this is a big challenge that we do. And we get relieved of that. You can just visualize this in your mind. That just, you got this big weight on your back. And now Jesus tells you and says, put it down. Drop it. Just drop it. Right here, right now. Just drop the bag. Doesn't remove you the responsibility of what's in it. Because that's all of our junk. We still got to deal with the junk. But now we got a way to set it down. Now we're being forgiven and being able to step in. And that's, I think, is beautiful in the big scheme of things when we think about it. But it does come... It's heavy sometimes. It can be really, really heavy in our life. And so Jesus teaches us to do that. In Isaiah 61:10, I am overwhelmed with joy in the Lord my God, for he has dressed me with the clothing of salvation and draped me in a robe of righteousness. And I'm like a bridegroom dressed for his wedding or a bride with her jewels. End quote. That's, again, another huge promise that because of Jesus, this is how I stand before God. You know, that nothing is going to be in God's presence without being holy? Nothing. God's holy. And before Jesus, judgment was definitely there. You know, it had to be atoned for. That's, you go read the Old Testament. That's what they were constantly doing. They weren't, it wasn't salvation. They were just atoning for that particular sin or that particular moment. It wasn't a one and done, but Jesus comes and says, no, this is the ultimate sacrifice. I'm going to lay down my life and we're good. Humanity is good with God. You have a front row seat to sit and talk with God. You don't need an appointment. You don't need to go through a third party. You can go directly to God. It's powerful. Now, our junk will separate us from that and keep us from that, thinking that we're spiritually disqualified, that we don't have a place in God. But hopefully good theology and a good practice of spiritual principles will relieve that in our life. Hunting for a deal. You know, some of us get excited about those last-minute deals, right? You go out into the world and you get excited about shopping. I know some of you are thinking that looks a lot like Taylor, but that's because it is Taylor. But I figured I'd have some fun this morning, because Taylor's always busting my chops. And you don't think he would. He sounds like a really innocent young man, but trust me, he's got horns underneath that hat. That's why he wears a hat. So I have to have a little fun, and since I have control of the stuff, I have fun. But anyway, kids, people get excited about what's going on, right? They get excited about that, because salvation... We should get excited about salvation because it guarantees it's the greatest gift of all, which is what Jesus already paid for. Amen. That's right. So that's what we get excited about, is that I'm good with God. It does not relieve me of my responsibilities to clean up my past and to stay that going forward. But I'm good with God. I don't have to go hide in a corner anymore. And that is salvation. That is redemption. That is what freedom is all about. So... how do we apply it? Well, it's experience the joy of salvation by resting in the freedom of forgiveness Jesus offers. You can have peace with that. Peace. You know, it's like taking a shower after you've been out for hours working in the heat and you're sweating. You just take that shower and you feel redeemed. You feel good. It's that. Spiritually, inside, you should feel that way. And but you have to continue to live a Jesus-centered life and follow Jesus-looking God in order to maintain that connection and that freedom, because the minute you don't, the minute the secrets start, the minute pride rears its head, the fear gets in there, then you start getting separated from the source. You start to unplug, you know, and you could be going to church, you could be sitting in church, you can be totally unplugged because of whatever's going on in your life, because you're not being transparent about it. Transparency is a huge part of spirituality, about here's what's going on in my life, here's what I'm wrestling with between my ears, the good, the bad, and the ugly, and to have a platform to do that, it's absolutely huge in our life. Our last point is that joy in sharing the good news, the blessing of giving it away. If I had a glass of water, and I don't, but if I did have a glass of water and I had it up here and I had it filled to the top, I mean, literally, if I just moved it an inch, water is going to spill. The question is, can I put any more water in it? And the answer is yes, but I have to pour out what's already in before I can put any more in it. That's the easiest way to think about this. Freely given, as Matthew would say, freely we give away. You know, this is what living the Christian life is all about, is sharing the good news. And as we say all the time, it's not just good news, it's the best news ever. And you should have a lot of joy doing that. And if you don't have joy doing that, there's some disconnect, I can promise you. Next week, when we're here, you know, and all the families come and we hook up with them and we do all that stuff, there'll be a lot of joy. You should experience a lot of joy. I've watching Judy, she's not here this morning, but Judy Davis, can you hear the joy in her heart as she's doing, calling these people and reaching out, and Bert reaching out to these people, and they text back and say, you know, if you could feel the joy come oozing out of their pores. That's what we're talking about. It's, you need to find whatever that is for your life, you know, and it's not going to necessarily be the same thing for everybody. But the responsibility is still there. In recovery circles, they would say, you can't keep it unless you give it away. You can't keep it unless you give it away. It's the gift that keeps on giving. But if you want to keep the joy, you better pass it on. Selfishness is, I'm good. I'm good with Jesus. So, no, that's not the Jesus message. And it doesn't mean you're out there on the street corner going, hey, if you don't have Jesus, you're going to hell. It's not that. That's not sharing the good news. That's nothing good about that, right? You might, you know. But the good news is, man, brother, you look lost. What can we do to walk shoulder to shoulder with you and help you figure it out? Not just, hey, here's a pamphlet, here's, let's say a sinner's prayer together, let's listen to a Billy Graham sermon. No, how can we actually walk with you and restore your life? I can't fix your life, but I can definitely step into it and make a difference in how your life turns out, whatever that looks like. And so next week will be a version of that. When people come, it's not just, hey, we're going to give you something to eat. Hey, we're going to give you a few gifts to take home. Hey, we're going to give you some money towards your utilities. No, we're trying to figure out who you are and do life together. Invite you in out of the dark into the light. Because these families are overwhelmed. You have one family's like, you know, I got six kids, I think, or four kids, or six kids, but two of them have autism, and I don't know how to manage that. How do you deal with that? How do I bring them to church? Who's going to watch them? And the fear is they're going to be a distraction, and people aren't going to like it, and they're going to want to run me off. And we just got to figure that out together. How do we do that? But to not come because you got kids that have autism isn't the answer, I can promise you. So you have to figure out how to deal with it. Are they challenging? Absolutely. Those are all challenging situations. The world's rough. People come in very fractured. Very fractured. But how do you deal with it? My brother, who's in a nursing home, last year, when I was talking to him, and I said, I'm going to come see it. He goes, well, I go, you got a roommate? He goes, yeah, I got a roommate that won't shut up. I go, what do you mean he won't shut up? He says, he's 100 years old, and he talks nonstop. Nonstop. From the moment his eyes open until he goes to bed. And it's not like I'm talking to you. It's like this. There's whatever's going on is going on. So I got there, and the guy was in the bathroom. But I could hear him in there. The whole time I was there. And my brother had to live with that 24/7, 365. But you had to figure it out. You know, so you can either lose your mind, or how am I going to find peace in that? And my brother figures out how to navigate that. You know, so it's not easy. But if, you know, broken people, this is supposed to be a place, this should be like an urgent care, an emergency room. Broken people should be able to come here and go, man, I'm lost. I don't know where I'm going to sleep tonight. I don't know where I'm going to eat tomorrow. I don't know. I can't stay sober. I can't get clean. They should be able to walk in this space and just be real. And we should be, sit down, let's figure this out. Or at least try to navigate it. And if we're not doing that, then this is all for nothing. I mean, I'm just telling you, it's all for nothing. So this is what, and if you're doing that, then you're going to have tremendous joy in your life. Tremendous joy in your life. I walked downstairs a little bit right after we started the first song to walk in there and check on the gang downstairs. And I walk in there, and Ashton's there with all the kids, and they're into it. And she walked in, she goes, are we being too loud? I said, you can never be too loud. I said, I just come to get a picture. And they all give me a big old whatever they said. It was pretty funny. I got a good picture of it. But it's joy. That brings me joy to see the kids excited about their spiritual life. Ain't that awesome? So that's what we're talking about in the big scheme of things. So kids, they get excited. You know how kids are. When they got something to share, they get excited about it. I mean, it could be a frog. Man, check out this frog I got. You know, they're all into it like you ain't never even saw a frog before. Man, they're just excited about it. They're telling you about it, and it's awesome. And they have a lot of joy telling you about their frog or whatever it is they got in their life. But Christmas is coming. A lot of them get excited about that, and it's a big time of the year for a lot of people. So we want to carry that kind of excitement when it comes to our spiritual life, our spirituality. Not just, hey, man, you need Jesus. I got Jesus. I got Jesus. Well, good for you, man. I'm glad. I'm happy for you. I'm glad you got Jesus. You know, but it's like, hey, I'm having a pretty good life, and you're invited to the party. So let's step into that. Let's do that. Let's navigate that together. 1 Peter 1:18 says this. For you know that God paid a ransom to save you from the empty life you inherited from your ancestors. And it was not paid with mere gold or silver, which lose their value. It was paid for with his life. The ultimate gift, right? It is the ultimate gift that is given to us. And it's powerful, friends. It's absolutely powerful in our life. So the key is this. Identify someone who needs the joy of Jesus. And allow your joy to overflow into their lives this Advent season. So look in your circles. Who is it I need to bless? Could be a family member. Could be a neighbor. Could be a student. Could be a lot of people in your circles. A lot. if you just pray about it, say, God, show me. I mean, I guarantee you'll be flooded with ideas. Who's coming to the taxidermy shop that I could bless, for example? Lots of people coming into your guys' world right now. And a lot of them stick around long enough, and then if you stand there long enough, it's like the barber shop. You know, they're going to start talking about their life. Who can we bless this season, right? You know, who is it? There's always somebody, and that's my responsibility, is to identify. That's my application for us, is to identify somebody who needs that joy. We identified a bunch with our ministry we got, but you personalize it. Who is somebody in your life that you can do that with? And joy in God's presence, right? And delight in God's earnest. That's what we want to do. This is our takeaways for today. So number one, joy in God's presence. Delight in God's constant nearness. God's is. Now, he's not over there. God is present in spirit. I love the exchange between Jesus and Nicodemus. It's one of my favorite exchanges in the entire Bible. Here's a Jewish rabbi who knows the Torah. Just think about taking the first five books of the Old Testament and knowing it by heart. I mean, think about trying to memorize Leviticus or Numbers. But this is how these guys were trained. They knew it backwards and forwards. And this, they're having this exchange, and Nicodemus is in awe of Jesus. So he sneaks off and meets him in private. I mean, he's in awe of this guy. And he goes, he's asking the question, basically, because I don't feel it. I don't feel this spiritual joy, this connection you're talking about. What are we doing wrong? He says, and I love what Jesus says to him. You're a great man. You're a great teacher in Israel, and you don't even know these things. He said, you got to be born again. God is spirit. That's what Jesus said. God is spirit. It's like the wind. You don't know where it's coming. You don't know where it's going. Just think about air. You can't see it, but if you don't have it, you will be all over it. You know, and so this is, God is present wherever you're at. But it's just, how do you tap into it? And it has to do with our soul being our mind, our will, and our emotions. We pull that in and we tap into that source. And there's so many sources. Some of you are visual, so watching videos is a way to do that. Some of you are audible, listening to music or listening to podcasts or whatever is a way to do it. Or some of you like to read, you like to engage it. So reading really does it for you. And probably all of us are a little bit of overlap of all that. But it's whatever you personally, because the greatest measure, you've heard me say this a million times, but it's true. The greatest measure of where you're at spiritually is, what are you doing when nobody else is looking? If you really want to know what your relationship with God is, that's the greatest measure of it right there. What are you doing when nobody else is looking? It's easy to come Sunday morning in transformation, be all about Jesus. Easy. Piece of cake. But what are you doing when nobody else is around? What are you watching? What are you thinking about? What are you listening to? What are you pursuing? What are your goals? What are your ambitions? What are they? That's the greatest of measure. And it's not there to beat you up. But if it's not Jesus-centered fully, it doesn't mean you don't have plans and goals for work and about, life's life. But I'm talking about, what is the big ambition in your life? What are you trying to do in your life? And is it to really bring joy to the world? Because that's what we're about. We're joy producers. We're hope dealers, as we'd say in rooms of recovery. We're hope dealers. We're joy getters. Providers. We should be trying to create, think of it this way, wherever I go, I should be trying to create Advent. Peace and hope and love, right? And joy wherever I go. And none of us do it perfectly, but that should be my ambition wherever it is. And it's easier said than done, but that's what we should do. So Advent reminds us that joy flows not from perfect circumstances, but from the unchanging reality of who Jesus is. Amen? So Jesus promises his joy will fill us and overflow us into our lives with others. So whatever challenges you face this week, root yourself, as our message title would say, in the joy of Christ. Choose to live in the joy that Jesus offers. That's our message today. And let his joy fill your heart and spill into every interaction this week. So I want to invite the band back up, and we're going to get ready to sing. I'm going to pray as they're coming back up here in a minute. But I just encourage you to think about those three things. Joy in God's presence, joy in salvation, what Jesus did for you, not what you did, and ultimately joy in sharing not just the good news, but the best news ever. What does that look like for your life this coming week? And that's what I really encourage you to to be into, to be a part of, and lean into. So I'm going to pray for us. Heavenly Father, we praise you for the gift of joy through Jesus. As we lit the candle of joy this morning, we celebrate the good news of his arrival and the overflowing joy he brings into our lives. Help us stay connected to him, the light and his salvation that he provides, and share his love with others. Fill us with an unshakable and unflowing and overflowing joy this Advent season. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name. And all God's kids said, amen.
Hi again, this is Harold. Thanks for listening to our weekly message and podcast. I hope we have shared something helpful to you wherever you are in your spiritual journey. Just so you know more about us, we are Transformation Church. We are a church for people who aren't in the church. We are a Jesus-centered community made up of everyday people just like you. We refer to ourselves as Transformers, committed to helping God change the world. We meet on Sunday mornings at 10:30 a.m. at our House Springs campus. We are moving and launching a new campus soon in Eureka, Missouri, scheduled to launch on April 6, 2025, and we would love for you to join us and be a part of this Jesus revolution. We also meet during the week in smaller groups called house churches, and that's how we make it relational. We regularly hear from people from all over who are engaging in personal and group studies based on our teaching, and we would love to know if that is happening where you are. If you want to connect with us, you can find us on Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, Pinterest, Instagram, Vimeo, YouTube, and TikTok. You can also download our app for free and for fun from your favorite app store. You can find the download link in the show notes or on our website at www.transformerforlife.org. That's www.transformer4life.org. Inside our app or on our website, you can access all our available audio and video teachings and view and download our bulletin, sermon notes, slides, and discussion questions. It's all there for you. Lastly, if you want to learn more about supporting Transformation Church with your time, talent, and finances and what it takes to become a transformer, please visit our website. God loves generous people, and so do we. So a gift of any amount of your time, talent, and finances is much appreciated. Hey, thanks for being a member of our extended Jesus-centered community. I'm glad we are on this journey together, walking shoulder to shoulder, helping people experience a Jesus-centered life and discovering the kingdom of God.